Let us pray. Give us grateful hearts, our Father, for the gift of eternal life, for the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the opportunity to study and to work on this campus. We are especially grateful for the privilege of participation with those who seek first thy kingdom and thy righteousness in this world at this time. In thy presence, we remember those who are in great distress today, near and far. We confess our sins. We ask thy forgiveness. And we pray for the forgiving spirit in our own hearts. We thank thee for thy servant who will speak to us at this hour. May we listen carefully to what he says and learn from him. Undergird and sustain everyone who studies and teaches on this campus through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It is with gratitude that we present as our speaker today Dr. James Mosley. Dr. Mosley has accepted invitation to be seminary physician at the Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary and is opening offices in the clinic on North Main Street for the practice of medicine in the town of Wake Forest. Dr. Mosley earned the BS degree and the MD degree at the University of Alabama. In addition, he has had 3 years of formal education in surgery. Since 1962, he has served as medical missionary in Nigeria. We appreciate his Christian faith, his enlightened concern for every person he meets, for his professional competence, and for his commitment to the task to which he will be devoting his intelligence and his energy here. We hope that he and his family will receive a very sincere and warm welcome on the part of all members of the seminary family. And we venture to predict that his ministry will be one of the most constructive forces in the life of this school and in the life of this town. We are very happy to welcome you, Dr. Mosley, with all our hearts.
Thank you, Dr. Binkley, for that welcome. I want to thank you also for calling me to this school. I feel like I am where God wants me at this time. Before I tell you something about my own personal experience with God, I'd like to say something in relation to the Student Health Service. because I might not have this opportunity again to make these remarks. Our hours will be 8:30 until 10:30 each morning, Monday through Friday. Emergencies, of course, will be seen at any time, regardless of the day or the hour. And I hope you will not refrain from calling me when you need me, or when your children are sick. If your children are like my children, they never get sick until at bedtime, or just before they start Sunday school, or some place like that. So I'm familiar with the habits of children, and call me. I will leave it up to your judgment as to whether it's an emergency or not. I can't tell over the telephone very well, so we'll just have to meet and decide afterwards whether it was an emergency or not. Another thing I'd like to impress upon you is to get annual physicals. You'd be amazed at how many things we can pick up just by these little annual physical examination. So make that a part of your life, to get one at least once a year, all of your life. Now, for those of you who, like me, are only strong in the Lord, and if you develop those symptoms that concern you, come to talk to me about them. There is nothing more debilitating than to think you've got cancer or heart disease. It just keeps growing on you. And in the middle of the night, it keeps coming back. And you say, I really ought to do that. But then the next morning, you feel better, and so you don't go. And then if you want to be really free, then you've got to take a chance sometime of finding out that there might be something serious wrong with you. But to be really free, you've got to take that chance. So come by, and we will talk over your problems. Now, so much for the health service. I want to spend the balance of the time allotted to me this morning with nothing more than a personal testimony of how God has worked in my own life. I don't know anything about theology, and I don't know anything about how churches ought to run, this, that, and the other. So I'm just going to tell you what God has done to me. Or at least it's how I have interpreted certain actions in my life, certain events, as being the work of God. Back in 1948, I first felt the call to be a missionary. Gave my life Calvary Baptist Church one Sunday morning for that purpose, but over the next few years got away from it. Went to medical school, went to church, but did not really understand that first invitation from God to do special work. I went on into practice in Leeds, Alabama, and was there about 3 years when suddenly one day, right out of the blue, I received a letter from Charles Compton, a missionary down in Brazil. He never has written me since, and he never had written me before. But then, right out of the blue, he wrote me a letter which started me on a train that ended up, a train of events that ended up my going to Nigeria. I saw Charles later and told him about this, and he said he doesn't know why he wrote that letter, except that he sat down and my name just happened to be on the stack that he intended to write. And he wrote that letter and didn't write any more for several days. That letter reminded me of that commitment back in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. It reminded me of the time Charles and I used to go down to the jail and preached to the prisoners on Sunday afternoon, and it reminded me that I had not lived up to my commitment. began an unrest in me that just wouldn't let me alone. A few weeks after that, another missionary was speaking in Birmingham, and I knew I shouldn't go hear him, but I just had to. Dr. Tommy Halsall, also of Brazil, and I knew when I went there that he was going to tear my soul up, and yet I had to go, and that's exactly what happened. I couldn't live with myself. It got so bad I just couldn't work. I knew I ought to do something, but I didn't want to leave that practice. It was just getting started, and I was seeing a lot of patients, and I just didn't want to go. So I fought it. But there reached one point one morning when I just couldn't go any longer. And so I went to my office, and I said, surely there must be some help somewhere. And I opened the Bible quite by accident, or maybe not so by accident. At least the page opened on the 10th chapter of Mark, and I read there the story of the rich young ruler. I certainly was no ruler. In fact, I was the low man on the totem pole at that particular clinic. I wasn't rich. In fact, I was in debt. And there was nothing about the man physically that applied to me. Yet, I saw something in this story that definitely applied to me. I think this man didn't want to commit himself to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is exactly the position in which I found myself. Well, as usual, when I ran into troubles with my soul, I went to see my pastor, and I did it that morning. I just couldn't wait. In fact, I bounded into his office, and I said, something's going to have to give. I can't go on like this. And so we had prayer, and I offered myself to be of service to the Lord. I don't think that I did it completely, because I was not completely relieved of my troubled soul. This rocked on just a few more weeks, this repeatedly returning feeling that I just wasn't doing my share. One Sunday afternoon, my wife and I and my mother were out house hunting. I didn't know we were house hunting. I found that out later. My wife told me that we were house hunting, and she found exactly the kind of house she wanted, and wanted me to go make a down payment the next day. Well, you don't go to the mission field and buy a new house. You know, at the same time, things don't work out that way. So I was in a great turmoil then from not only the Lord, but from the wife as well. And so I had to do something. Well, that night, I felt a compulsion that I've never felt to go and hear a certain pastor in Birmingham. I never had done this before, yet I had to go. It was raining and cold, and I didn't want to go, and I started to turn around two or three times, but I made my way up on top of that mountain to that church, and that night he preached the sermon, How Can I Make My Best Contribution to Life? Well, there was no more point in me arguing with God. He had made it too plain. I couldn't see any way out. And so on the way, I can remember it so well, as many of you can, that moment when you come face to face with God and you know that you've got to make a decision. And as I started up that hill into Leeds, Alabama, I said, all right, Lord, I don't care what it is. Missionary. And then I had to utter those words, which I think I had been afraid all of my life to utter, as far, you know, in my adult life. Lord, I'll even be a preacher. I'll give up medicine. I'll go back to school. I'll worry with that WMU, and I'll fiddle with that deacon board. I got to have peace of mind, if it takes all of that. Well, the Lord didn't require that much of me, and so I was allowed to go on and practice medicine. I got in touch with Dr. Elmer West, and Foreign Mission Board, and Ultimately, after 3 years and much testing, I hate to go into all of the things, and I don't think I shall, because it brings up some theological matters of such as getting baptized all over again, and that happened while I was at the seminary. I just felt one day that my life just had not been properly gone through the proper channels, and so I went down one Sunday night, and I said, "All right, I want to be baptized." And say, "Well, you want to be rebaptized?" I said, "No, baptize me in my faith in Jesus Christ, and let's start from here." I've never regretted it, and if any of your parishioners come to you with this problem someday, well, hear them out and help them. This is a serious matter for some of us people. We don't know all of these terms, And we don't understand all we read in the Bible. Help us at this point, will you? There may be some who need this special help. I did. Well, I ended up, after several years of dickering with the Foreign Mission Board in Nigeria, I served in three of our Baptist institutions, our medical institutions there, at Abomasaw, Contagora, and Shockey, and had planned to be there right now. But we had trouble getting a visa in time. Ultimately, those visas were granted, but at the time I felt like I had to make some kind of decision. I just did not know whether I could get into the country or anything about it. Hindsight, of course, is one thing, but at the time one must make some sort of decision, you've got to take the facts at hand. And so we came here. At first, I didn't understand all about this lack of a visa. I'm beginning to think now this is the way God has worked in my own life to do a job that he wants me to do. And I have to accept that, just like that, and go on from there. In the sense of the word, I'm starting all over where I was 15 years ago. But all with a difference. Those years in Nigeria brought rich blessings. I'd like to just tell you about some of those things that happened to me and occurred while I served there. Let you know something of the feelings one can develop for people. Right after I got to Nigeria, one night they called me up to the emergency room, and there was a young man there who had had several convulsions during the day. He had had these all his life. He had chewed his tongue unmercifully and was bleeding, and he was actually choking to death from blood in his throat. And of course, we couldn't talk to him. He was sort of unconscious and thrashing about, and he, spit all over me and this and all, and it was very unesthetic. But suddenly, when I looked at that man, I had a rare glimpse into the problem of brotherhood. This man was my brother. We were of different color. And the Lord had blessed me beyond measure, and this poor man had had very little of material blessings, very little of health blessings. I had had all of these, so we were different, and yet we were created by the same God. We had the same Father, and that made us brothers. This affects
every relationship that I have with men of different color or different station, I remember this, and I think God planted this in my mind so that it would stay there forever. One day, when we were working in Contagora, I used to hold these little clinics, and we'd go up about 50 miles away and hold a clinic. We'd hold preaching service connected with a church, and then we would hold a clinic and see the people, and we'd see 40 or 50 maybe, and then go back home, take those back that really needed help in the hospital. And in other words, we just tried to serve our fellow man. When I got out of the truck that day, I noticed a little baby. I believe if that baby would have had any blood cells, I could have seen them circling in his eye. You never saw such a white eye, just practically dead from anemia. And we had some trouble talking the family into going back with us. By the time we got back to the hospital, that little baby was just about dead. And you just can't imagine the weakness of these profoundly anemic children. They will just drape over your arm like a wet rag. And so we just rushed that child into the operating room and I believe one of the missionaries gave some blood. And I just injected that right into that vein just fast as I could. And that baby's eyes were just wandering, just nearly dead. And within 20 or 30 minutes, that baby was crying and kicking and thrashing about. So then we took this baby back to the mother. Now, she thought a miracle had occurred. It was just a matter of getting blood that was needed into the veins, and this miracle did occur. We did it over and over and over again, but I guess in a sense of the word, there was a miracle here because of the interaction of God. God led people to give money, and that hospital was built. He called me, at least at that time, and I was there. So maybe a miracle did occur. One of the richest experiences I had, though, had nothing to do with medicine. Had to do with being a missionary advisor. When I was at Shockey, I was the only doctor. There's a large number of people in that area, about 700,000. We were the only hospital. And one day, nine pastors came, and they wanted me to be the missionary advisor of the Ararumi Association. And I said, well, I don't know a thing in the world about building a church or anything. I said, I just don't know. I said, now, if you want me to just sort of be with you, I'll be glad to do it. Well, that suited them. They said, yes. So I said, if you will come and teach me how to be a missionary advisor, I'll accept the job. So they agreed, and I began a relationship that I really enjoyed. I couldn't go out to them because I couldn't be away from the church of the hospital. But I said, would you agree to come to my home every month and let's have a meal together, and then we will talk about the church business and we will have fellowship together. Would you agree? And they said, yes. So each month, we had a big, long table. We have big tables out there in Niger because we have a lot of people in visiting at times, and the fellowship is really wonderful. And so we had about 12 places for 12 that day, my wife and I and these nine pastors and a visitor. We all sat down and that first time, and it was a little amazing. Some of the pastors were well-trained and, of course, had no trouble. Others had grown up in very limited areas educational-wise, and so they found it a little difficult. And I noticed that one of them sat quite a long way from the table, and we noticed this at first, but after a period of months, he just moved up to that table, and we all grew. We all grew that thing. I grew in my love and understanding of the preacher's problems. I grew in my love and
understanding of the problems of being poor people. There are just lots of things I learned. Now, they learned some things from me, and I helped them medically. I helped them financially at times. But I learned something from them. Their kindness. Their work under difficult conditions. So, Mr. Olale, I'm glad God called me to serve in your country, even for a short while. I learned so much from your people. It's difficult for me not to be returning. But how grateful I am that I didn't turn away when God called me that second time. I feel so sorry for that young ruler. He kept his money, but think of the blessings he missed. Don't be afraid to go wherever God calls you. He's promised to be with you, and He is with you.
I do not want to embarrass our physician, but I think it is appropriate for me to say that he deliberately turned away from an opportunity to earn a great deal of money and to receive a great deal of praise to come to this post of service. And he has communicated to us the quality of his mind and devotion today. Our Father, we thank Thee for the memory of our Lord and for Thy presence with us in the Holy Spirit. Grant unto us, each one, a spirit of obedience that we may do creative work for Thee.
Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Father, who hast created us for thyself, to be loved of thee and to love one another, grant that in these moments we may be delivered from all self-interest, all overweening pride and ambition, all desire for personal advancement, and so lose ourselves in the Spirit of our Christ, that we may know truly what it means to love Thee and to love one another. Forgive our sins and guide us by Thy Spirit into all truth, that we may bear witness to Him who to us is life everlasting. In His name we pray. Amen.